good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Busy, busy show today coming up at 10:33. Wisconsin Representative Francesca Hong is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about a bipartisan educational bill that's kind of been in the works for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's good news, I think.
Yeah.
And then we're also, hopefully, if we have time, she and I share a love for tots.
I'm there, too.
Tater tots.
Oh, yeah.
I think we can all coalesce around tater tots, I would hope. That's not a divisive issue, but you know, there will always be some anti-tot people, I suppose.
It's a curly fry house, or get out.
Or get out, yes. So Francesca Hong joining us at 10:33. And then at 11:06, Emily Cattell from the March of Dimes will join us to talk about the March for Change. They are going to be in Madison this coming weekend, and Emily will be here to talk about what their concerns are and what they would like to see happen. So Emily Cattell from March of Dimes talking about the March of Change joining us at 11:06. Just a quick reminder, our email, if you ever want to get in touch with us, it's easy now. It's Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. And we really encourage you, if you have a guest or a topic, something you should have, you would like us to have on the show. I just got an email from a listener yesterday with a suggestion for a guest, and I'm going to follow up on that today. So
excellent.
Absolutely. Let us know if there's something going on in your community or an organization you think needs highlighting, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. And, of course, all the complaints, just send them to Calvin.
We're going to start off. Calb at civicmedia.
Calb at civicmedia.us. We did want to start off with this just locally. A dump truck hit a school bus. It happened this morning at the intersection of East Moreland Boulevard and Wolf Road in Waukesha. Law enforcement reporting there were 34 kids on the bus. Some getting checked out at this point. They say there are no major injuries, so that's good news. But in case you have kids in the Waukesha School District who take the bus, wanted to make sure that you were aware that this had happened. Moving on, lots of breaking news today. Nikki Haley is officially out.
Yeah.
Of the presidential race. Not a big surprise. Former President Trump pretty handily wrapped up every state that voted in Super Tuesday yesterday, except for Vermont.
Yeah.
And now he's just casting aspersions all over Vermont and all of that, whatever. But yes, Nikki Haley has confirmed that the time has now come to suspend my campaign, saying she has no regrets. She also did not endorse the former president.
She did not. Nope.
I still think she will.
Yeah.
So how long do we give her? How long is it going to take for her to flip and offer her support?
I think it's going to be the end of probably, I think early April, you'll start to see her
waffling,
and then she'll be at an event, and he's going to treat it like the greatest thing ever, even though, I mean, this is a great test. Right now, most diehard Trump fans probably see her as nothing but
The enemy.
She betrayed him. She ran against him. All the things. A rhino for sure.
Oh yeah.
But how quickly will they accept her back into their hearts once he's like, look at wonderful Nikki.
Once he gives his blessing, then then they'll suck that up just fine, I would assume.
Because she wants a primetime spot at the RNC. I mean, she's not done.
She's not done.
She's probably gonna run for Senate.
Something.
Yeah.
She's not going away just yet. And it's also interesting when you look at the now presidential nominees, Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and their reactions to Nikki Haley's announcement that she is dropping out of the race. From Donald Trump, Nikki Haley got trounced last night in record-setting fashion, despite the fact that Democrats, for reasons unknown, are allowed to vote in Vermont and various other Republican primaries. Much of her money came from radical left Democrats, as did many of her voters. At this point, I hope she would stay in the race and fight it out until the end. I would like to thank my family, friends, and the great Republican Party for helping me to produce by far the most successful Super Tuesday in history. Biden is the enemy. He is destroying our country. Make America great again.
I just,
And then this statement, just for a little contrast, from President Biden. It takes a lot of courage to run for president. That's especially true in today's Republican Party, where so few dare to speak the truth about Donald Trump. Nikki Haley was willing to speak the truth about Trump, about the chaos that always follows him, his inability to see right from wrong, about his cowering before Vladimir Putin. This, again, a statement from Donald Trump after hearing the news that Nikki Haley is stepping out of the presidential race. Donald Trump has made it clear he doesn't want Nikki Haley's supporters. I want to be clear, there is a place for them in my campaign. I know there's a lot we won't agree on, but on fundamental issues, standing up for the rule of law, treating each other with decency and dignity and respect, preserving NATO and standing up to America's adversaries, I hope and believe we can find common ground. Just slightly different in tone.
Just
slightly.
One was presidential, one
was typical.
Yeah.
The other
was
typical.
And I said to you, you know, the thing that gives me glee, and it shouldn't, it's a very petty thing, but I'm a petty person, is that he wanted to go in there with a clean sweep of Super Tuesday, and he didn't.
He lost Vermont.
And that is going to be... that is going to be the oil in his milk. He is going to fixate. I couldn't say what I wanted to say. He's going to fixate on that, and he's going to look for someone to blame other than the entire state of Vermont. But
well, he's already done it. Why were Democrats allowed to vote there? They shouldn't have been allowed to vote. That's the only reason why I lost. Something else that jumped out at me yesterday, as a lot of reporters were on the ground in the states where voters were going to the polls. Mm-hmm. This is Emmett Martin from North Carolina, talking to NBC reporter on whether or not he was going to be supporting Nikki Haley. And here is what Emmett had to say. Let's play that clip, Kelvin.
What do you think of Nikki Haley? Did you ever consider her?
You know, what I got to say, you don't really want to put it on.
Let me hear it.
Oh, tell.
A woman's not going to be a good president. She have no balls to scratch. What? She's just going to scratch her head. All a woman's good for in my book is having babies and taking care of the house. But that's the old thing, you know. But I'm old school.
So you never even considered her?
No.
Mainly because she's a woman?
Because she's female. So, I mean, females, don't take me wrong, females know what they're doing, but they still got to have a little bit of guidance.
855-75- Civic. I'm genuinely curious if this is a sign of intelligence, if this is a sign of brains. Men scratching their balls as opposed to a woman scratching her head. From what I remember of basic physiology, your head is where your brain is located.
Well, he says he's old school, so who knows where his brain is.
We pretty much know. He pretty much just told us.
$50 says the guy's younger than me, and he's like, I'm old school. Shut up.
Is this the measure of a candidate that with no balls to scratch, you can't possibly make a reasonable decision? I have so many questions.
Tony Zimmerman on the live stream perfectly sums it up with, what?
I know. I hear you, Tony. I saw this clip yesterday, and I was like, what?
I just want everyone to know Jane played this clip like 12 times.
I just think I have so many questions.
What are your questions? I'm a guy.
Okay.
Ask me a question.
Here's my first question.
Yeah.
When you are naked and you look in the mirror
this got personal very fast, yeah?
And you look at that area of your body.
Yeah.
Do you instantaneously go, yep, that's where my brains are?
No.
No?
No, I look at, dude, just like, you can have a cupcake, but don't have three cupcakes.
855.
And I use my brain when I say that.
Do you scratch your head?
All the time. My head's an itchy. I got an itchy head.
Then that's not, you're not very
smart. I'm not a man. Am I not a man?
You're not a manly man.
Oh my gosh. Sorry, Jesse Waters.
You're scratching the wrong thing, apparently.
Sorry, that guy in, what was that, North Carolina? South Carolina?
Emmett Martin from North Carolina.
I told you the same thing I told you yesterday. I'm not going to take advice from a guy who shares the same name as an anthropomorphized puppet who has a jug band.
Emmett Martin was a puppet?
Emmett, from the jug band. Emmett in his from the Muppet movie. Come on.
All right. I got it.
The Muppets. Who doesn't?
Love the Muppets.
I love the Muppets.
Steven from Green Bay is on the line. Good morning, Steven. Thank you so much for joining us.
Jane, you laugh almost like you know what I'm about to say before I even say it.
I have a feeling, Stephen, but go ahead.
Oh, no, he didn't say what I think he said. Let me tell you, any man with any real cojones would never let those words utter out of his mouth. The fact that you even said that tells me how unmanly you really are. And what you need to do is you need to find the darkest, deepest hole and go hide in it and never come back out again. Thank you. That's all I got to say.
But what woman would feed him and take care of him if he went to a deep, dark hole?
Oh, you know there's some woman out there who is taking care of Emmett and making sure that he's happy.
We got some live stream comments here. Andrew from Maine. Yes, there are people out there that still think men are superior to women simply because they are a man. These people also believe white people are smarter than all others.
I don't disagree with you, Andrew, unfortunately.
Well. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I guess I was just kind of amazed that in this day and age, and when you and I were talking about this yesterday, the fact that he knew what he was going to say was going to be, because he told the reporter, you may not want me to say this to you. But this is what Donald Trump has done. Is allowed people to say the worst things.
Yes.
And these terrible things come out of their mouths, and it's just fine. It's just your freedom of speech.
And the fact that it's trash, you know it, and you don't really care. He knew what he said was trash.
And unpopular, and wildly unpopular.
Yeah. Why am I even shocked by it? I shouldn't be shocked by it, especially in today's day and age, that there are people who think in such a way.
Ladies.
This is a real ball scratcher.
Join me on this discussion. 855-75-CIVIC. A woman is not as smart as a man, according to Emmett Martin from North Carolina, because she has no balls to scratch. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B, joining you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, wherever you are across the state, listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, or even globally if you're on the live stream. You can always call or text at 855-75-CIVIC or watch the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Talking about the news this morning, Nikki Haley, after essentially losing everything but Vermont yesterday in the Super Tuesday election, dropping out of the presidential race, she did not endorse Donald Trump yet. We'll see whether or not that happens. But we were talking about a voter in North Carolina interviewed yesterday by NBC, Emmett Martin. That was a weird slip.
I wanted to say, when I made the Muppet reference, I almost said Emmett Till as well, because that's the only Emmett I ever think of.
Bad, weird connection there. Anyway, Emmett Martin from North Carolina yesterday explaining to this NBC reporter why he couldn't vote for Nikki Haley. Calvin, let's hear that one more time.
What do you think of Nikki Haley? Did you ever consider her?
What I got to say, you don't really want to put it on.
Let me hear it.
Oh, yeah.
A woman's not going to be a good president. She have no balls to scratch. She's just going to scratch her head. All a woman's good for in my book is having babies and taking care of the house. But that's the old thing, you know. But I'm old school.
So you never even considered her?
No.
Mainly because she's a woman?
Because she's female. So, I mean, females, don't take me wrong, females know what they're doing, but they still got to have a little bit of guidance.
Yes, Emmett, I want guidance from you. I need it, obviously.
I want to know.
There's something so telling about when a man calls a woman female.
Yes.
She's a female.
Yes.
That's a very specific choice.
There's something almost insulting about the word.
Just, yes, a little bit. So do we agree with this, that men are smarter because they have balls to scratch, whereas women just have to scratch their heads? I mean, I'm genuinely curious. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Our friend Joe McClear on the live stream. Had Haley not dropped out today, dollars to donuts, we'd have gotten a truth from Trump that would say in part, quote, "I absolutely have balls to scratch, MAGA," unquote.
I had the greatest balls. They're very itchy.
They're smarter. My balls are smarter than anybody else's
balls. I don't know how many times we can say this word on air. And Andrew actually made a very good point on the live stream, too. He said, "I'm happy when people say the quiet part out loud." Me too, actually, myself.
Yes.
"It removes doubt about where they stand and how short-sighted their life perspective is." Yeah, when you come out right away and you're like, "You know what I think? I think we need more border walls." I'm like, "You know what? I think I need to just slide down this cafeteria line and go away." You know? I don't disagree with that. Not saying I can't have a good conversation with them, but a lot of times nowadays it's just, I mean, so who's got the time to drill into that? I mean,
well, and again, I think that's you could do whatever you wanted in a discussion with old Emmett and you would never get anywhere.
No.
You know, we could point out incredible female scientists who have done groundbreaking research and he'd go, "Well, you know, there was a man with balls directing her the entire time."
I mean, the man would have gotten there sooner because he had more to scratch.
It's like just, scratching and intelligence.
Science shows.
I didn't realize they were so intertwined, the whole scratching.
Science shows that you get to discovery quicker when you have more to scratch.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
So, excellent.
I mean,
excellent.
I think Einstein said that.
Mitch McConnell also coming out this morning in support of Donald Trump, even though from all the reports I've read this morning, the two men haven't spoken for 3 years. And after January 6th, McConnell essentially said, "Yeah, Donald Trump caused this.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is the cause of the attack on the U.S. Capitol." And yet here we are, Mitch McConnell throwing his hat behind Donald Trump. Going back to the two statements from Trump and Joe Biden after Nikki Haley's announcement this morning, President Biden is essentially, if you voted for Nikki Haley, the Democratic Party has room for you. And I would posit that if you voted for Nikki Haley, the Republican Party has no room for you, especially because of something that Trump's daughter-in-law, Lara Trump, said just recently on television about voters.
"I can assure you there will be no funny business. Anyone who is not on board with seeing Donald Trump as the 47th president and America-loving patriots all the way down the ticket being supported by the RNC is welcome to leave, because we are not playing games and we have no time to waste."
So they don't want you.
Yeah.
Essentially, they don't want you. And there were a not insignificant number of people who voted for Nikki Haley.
No, I mean, he was expected to sweep Super Tuesday with ease. And yes, he only lost Vermont, but he lost Vermont. And that says something. That says that there are people out there who do not want him.
Yes.
And that doesn't. And the thing is you have to look at the numbers, too. Did he win those Super Tuesday states? Yes, he did. But he also didn't get every single vote there was able to be cast. People voted for Nikki Haley. There are individuals in this country who would rather have her, or may even want Joe Biden more than Donald Trump. I mean, that's, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to put that designation on any one particular voter, but it's going to be interesting to see if we don't get a third party person who kind of just,
which isn't going to happen. That's not going to happen. I mean, there's speculation that Kristen Sinema, now that she's not going to be running for re-election in Arizona.
Kirsten?
Kirsten might jump to no labels. But I think she's already got a lobbyist gig.
Yeah.
In the wings. She doesn't care about politics. She just wants to make money.
I just think that it'll be interesting to see how many of those Nikki Haley voters will vote Democratic or not.
Or not vote at all.
That actually worries me.
Which would be a shame. But I think it's important that people understand that if you are not MAGA, if you are not MAGA with only loyalty to Donald Trump, the Republican Party does not want you anymore.
This line of behavior, too, is very interesting, because if Donald Trump loses in November, where will the Republican Party be in 2025, the beginning of 2025?
Well, first they're going to scream that it was stolen.
Well, they're going to scream that forever. That's just, I mean, that's just going to happen. I mean, like we talked about the other day, Donald Trump did not go quietly into that good night. He's been whining since 2:30 a.m. the day after the election.
Yeah, he's been whining since he lost.
So they are going to complain until they leave the earth. My question is a bigger macro question, which is, where is the Republican GOP party going to be in 2025 when they no longer have him to rely on for any sort of strength?
Well, there are a bunch of, you know, never Trumpers who would love to get back into their, into what used to be their party, but right now they have nowhere to go. So if those Trump loyalists start falling out, then maybe they can get back to things. Even Nancy Pelosi said, we need a healthy Republican Party.
Yeah.
We need a healthy two-party system, at least. Three parties is a whole other issue. But
yeah.
All right, we have news and weather coming up next when we return. So excited to have her join us. Wisconsin Representative Francesca Hong will be here. We're going to talk about some educational measures in Wisconsin that have been a long time coming. And we're going to talk tater tots. Don't go away. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can call or text at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon has ruined. Just a reminder that the State of the Union address is going to be airing this Thursday night, and our own Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief, and Maggie Dawn of the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4 p.m. They are going to be hosting the broadcast of President Biden's State of the Union address. This Thursday starts at 8 o'clock on select Civic Media stations. Some won't be carrying the State of the Union because they'll be airing the Badgers, but you can always catch the speech on the Civic Media app or at civicmedia.us.
That says a lot about Wisconsin. I am not even the president. I just Badger game.
That's what I want to do.
Please, right. Badger game.
Very excited to have our next guest join us. She is the state representative for the 76th Assembly District, Representative Francesca Hong. Good morning, Representative Hong. It's been a long time. Nice to see you again.
Wonderful to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
We wanted to have you on, Representative, to talk about this bipartisan measure about ensuring that Asian American and Pacific Islanders get the same attention in our school curriculums. So I know that it kind of got stalled. First of all, what would the bill do? And then where are we in the process of this bill?
So thanks so much for asking about this very important measure. This bill was originally introduced way back in 2012 and then again in 2017 by my colleague, Representative Katrina Shelton. And what it would do is a very simple measure at first to include Asian Americans in a act that previously included Indian Americans and our Native folks, Black folks, and then Hispanics. That's the language in the bill. So this measure would include Asian Americans as well. And we know that our school boards and students, families, administrators, and teachers have been advocating with us to pass AB 232. And after a committee hearing, which was historic, we haven't been able to hear this in a public hearing since 2017. Actually, we've never heard it in a public hearing. And then it passed out of committee and onto an executive vote. And then historically, last week or 2 weeks ago, we were able to get a full assembly vote on the bill.
So now it goes to the Senate?
Yes. And in the Senate, it received a public hearing as well and an executive vote of 5-1. And now it heads to hopefully when the Senate meets in a couple weeks this month, we're hoping that it makes the calendar as well.
I'm always curious, Representative Hong, on for something like this that seems like a pretty easy breach, a pretty easy thing to agree on. What are the arguments against something like this?
Well, Jane, I hope you call me Fran. Representative Hong, I reserve for my Republican friends.
Got it.
But I think part of it is that folks view it as an unfunded mandate, even though Asian American history is taught in a couple schools across the state. There's also systemic racism amongst my Republican colleagues who want to fan the flames of culture wars as opposed to recognizing that their communities have been asking for this. And we know that due to gerrymandering, many of my Republican colleagues don't see a need to answer or hold themselves accountable to what their communities are demanding. And also, this is something that would benefit all students, not just Asian Americans. We know that we're living in a diverse global world, and the economy, whether it be jobs or helping students and teachers have better experiences. And when students are able to share with their fellow students about their history, it's something that everyone benefits from, because sharing stories and experiences only enhances our students, our learners, about what they can achieve and understand in their futures.
It's very hard to say. Fran. Oh, that's so hard for me to not say the title. But one of the things you spoke about in the thread on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, which we will post, is the amount of people, of my, Asians, Pacific Islanders living in this state. You know, I want to believe some folks are good folks, but I'm sure a lot of them think, well, I don't know these individuals. Why do I want my kids learning them? As you said, unfunded mandate. And the fact is there's so many living here, third largest population of Hmong people in Wisconsin. And also, if we haven't learned anything in the past few years, there's something to be said that I personally have never experienced, but seeing young kids of color see their history, their culture, whether it be represented in school, on screen, in books, there is a positive force to that. And to me, it seems far greater to do it than to stick by the old ways of saying, well, why? No, just why not?
Exactly. I think specifically for Asian Americans, we have felt invisible. I think we've been seen, especially for East Asians, having an ability to assimilate and feeling sometimes shame around sharing our culture and our experiences. And we're recognizing that this new generation of folks are absolutely prouder to share their stories and their experiences. And I know that having a more multicultural population here in Wisconsin, it's only going to make our schools stronger, our economy stronger, and folks will be able to feel prouder as a Wisconsinite as well, because they feel more free to be able to share their experiences and learn more about their history.
If you're just joining us, Representative Francesca Hong is our guest, and we're talking about Assembly Bill 232, the Asian American and Hmong Education Bill, which did pass unanimously in the Assembly. Now it moves on over to the Senate. Hopefully this will get passed before they go on vacation in the next couple of weeks. And like you said too, Fran, knowledge used to be power. Knowledge is power. The more we know, the more it enhances our lives. It enhances everything in our lives.
Yeah.
And there seems to be this whole coalition now where ignorance is better and less knowledge is better to, I don't know, insulate you from the world. It just is so...
I don't want to be comfy.
It makes no sense to me that why we wouldn't want to learn more about the people that we're living next door to.
I think a lot of it, too, is fear among some of my colleagues, specifically my white colleagues, about, you know, not seeing this as a pie that we can increase or a table that we can share. I think there's this scarcity mindset where they think that their history is going to be diminished or made less important if we include other cultures and other histories. But we know that we need to think about an abundance mindset and recognize that everyone is going to benefit from learning more about our histories that are with people of color. And, you know, it's public schools especially are such a central part of every community, regardless of zip code. And when we make our public schools stronger, we know that our economy can be stronger, our students and our teachers and families are going to feel more seen. And if, especially in a time where even mental health is such a significant issue, I know that folks who are able to share their stories and feel valued and seen in their classrooms and in their communities is only going to benefit everyone.
As you said, being able to see yourself and the history of your own people gives some validity to your existence, right?
Yes, yes. And I think one of the most powerful statements I heard in the many, many testimonies from folks all across the state, from Eau Claire and Green Bay to even Oconomowoc in Madison, Milwaukee, was that education is both a window and a mirror. For folks to be able to see themselves in their textbooks and their stories, you know, again, that's going to make folks stronger and feel like they want to do more and contribute more to their community.
You know, one of the things that we've talked about in the past few months, and that we've given a lot of credit to the legislature, is how many bills do go through with bipartisan support. And I think that's something that you all are not giving your flowers for, is that there are a lot of things that go through with bipartisan support, things that, you know, the most right of right to the left of left, you can all come together and say, no, this is important, this is helpful, and this will benefit the people of Wisconsin. And I just want to say thank you for doing all of that. And that is wonderful to see, because it does mean for us not elected, the things we want to see is our elected officials getting along and coming together, putting their differences aside and finding solutions to the problems.
And it's absolutely a way for us to better understand the differences in our communities, whether rural, urban, or suburban. And I think when I see bills coming out of, you know, the committee on the one where folks talk about hunting and trapping, I'm blanking right now, but it's important for folks, especially those of us in Madison that represent more progressive and, you know, us city folks. We only benefit from better understanding what's going on in rural communities and the real challenges that they face. And we saw that, I think, more than ever in the shared revenue bill, where we knew that towns, cities, and counties have all been desperately needing more funding from the state. And that like things like having volunteers being EMS and firefighters, when we know we need to start paying these folks. And it's been somewhat encouraging, and I'm nauseously optimistic that with either a majority Dem caucus or even a closer, a smaller majority for Republicans, that we're going to come together even more, that we're going to have better and more productive conversations. And I think you'll start seeing more in both caucuses where people have to whip votes, because we have to work harder to pass bills. And that's the way it should be. That makes democracy stronger.
Absolutely.
I love nauseously optimistic.
We need that on, we need that on a shirt.
Yeah.
That's the energy I hope many people take on, as much as I'm excited about people feeling empowered about votes and the potential for Dems to get the majority. I know that it's still, the reality is we need to stay a little bit cautious and maybe even nauseous about the optimism.
But I do think that the fact that we have all these pretty much unsung bipartisan measures that get passed, that leads me to believe that, and we've said this from the beginning, we have a whole lot more in common than we have against each other. And I think the loudest voices, unfortunately, are the ones on the fringe and the ones who want to gunk up the works. And
we want to be loud and right. And that's what we are as Dems and progressives. And by the way, that committee I just remembered is called Sporting Heritage. But we share values and we share a pride of being Wisconsinites, regardless if we're native born or moved here. I think that as Wisconsinites, we want families to be able to thrive. We want our public schools stronger. We want more parks and recreation. And, you know, Wisconsin has so much to offer, and we can absolutely come together more in showing the rest of the country what we can do, even with some of our differences, that we share values.
Representative Francesca Hong is our guest. She will be with us when we return. We're going to talk a little bit about food. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always email us at janesays@civicmedia.us. If you have a guest or a topic, something else you'd like to suggest, just shoot an email off to janesays, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, at civicmedia.us, and send all your complaints to Calvin. That's just how it works here. We're very excited to have our guest. Representative Francesca Hong is here, and we're talking about Assembly Bill 232, the Asian American and Hmong Education Bill that has passed unanimously in the Assembly. Now it is moving over to the Senate. Looks hopeful that this will get passed after what being introduced 20-some years ago. We get there, I guess, eventually. But I was thinking off the air, Fran, thank God for our immigrants, because if we didn't have immigrants in this country, our food would be terrible. Our food would be awful. It would be hot dishes and nothing else. It would be noodles and cream of mushroom soup and hamburger forever.
Send all angry emails to Jane says.
Hot dish. No shade for hot dish. I used to make some of the most epic hot dishes for staff meal back when I was working as an exec. I think that there's so much you can do with hot dish, and my favorite was crumbling Fritos on top.
Ooh.
Oh my God.
Tough to go wrong with that. I didn't mean to insult hot dishes.
I feel like you did.
Born and bright. Just think, otherwise we would... What would life be without pot stickers?
Oh my gosh.
There's
dumplings everywhere. Every country has a version of a dumpling. I think my actually Korean dumplings don't meet the top five. But, you know, it's in Wisconsin, too. I think some of the best food is this integration of and the fusion. I hate the word fusion, but like the melding together of flavors that are. Yeah, that are, you know, German and Korean. I think the best thing I've made is using taking bratwurst and making sam, which is like a lettuce wrap in Korean cuisine. Mm. With the funky miso and red pepper paste sauce. And honestly, sometimes I like that better than other like Korean barbecue meats.
We need like sesame sauerbraten or something. That would
we need to do a show in Madison is what we need to do.
A food show?
Yes.
Well, and Fran, you have a restaurant in Madison.
I did have a restaurant. We recently closed, unfortunately. But, you know, one of the best things about having that restaurant were just all the folks who shared memories and the folks who felt like they were in community and people who felt safe there. And I think that even though we're no longer, I know our restaurant and the people who have been running it and our staff there made a difference.
And I want to finish out with we have a mutual love for food. We have a mutual love for tater tots.
Yes.
And the last time you were on the show, you were very adamant that chefs need to stop screwing with your basic tater tot.
What?
Yes. Yes, I have a lot of thoughts on seeing tater tots just being abused by chefs who want to reinvent it. And the two things I never want to see messed with in a gastropub or by a fancy chef are tater tots and ketchup. Some of the worst things I tasted were like homemade ketchup. And I'm like, Heinz does a great job and Ore-Ida does a great job and we shouldn't mess with it.
Why screw with perfection, right? Why mess with it?
If anything, using like a commercial fryer for tater tots can make them better and crispier. But again, I don't want to see them stacked up. I don't want to see them in different shapes other than the OG cylinder. I want tater tots and ketchup in their purest form.
Fran Hong, tot purist.
So you don't want to see a deconstruction of the tot?
No lavender infused tater tots.
Oh my gosh, no. And I think, there are some like reinventions and deconstructions that shouldn't ever make a menu item or a special. And I'm sticking with being a purist for tater tots and ketchup.
I would think most Wisconsinites could respect that.
It should not be
a controversial take.
No, and if anything, I'm okay with tater tots going on hot dish. Like, I think my favorite hot dish are just hot dogs and tater tots. I shouldn't say just, but like that should, like those being the primary flavors. And that to me, again, like if it's not crumbled Fritos, I'm okay with some crispy tots on a hot dog hot dish.
What are your thoughts on tachos?
What is that?
It's nachos, but instead of chips, you have tots. So all of the all the nacho ingredients on top of tots.
Well, I'm okay with that because it still keeps the tot in its original form. And then to add toppings to that seems reasonable.
Francesca Hong respects the tot.
Pretty strong opinions from Representative Hong.
This is gonna all this information is gonna be taken into an ad where somehow
Francesca Hong hates potatoes. I don't know. They're gonna come at you with something.
She doesn't. I
mean,
like
if
ketchup.
Anything, I hope that Wisconsinites who are ginseng farmers or working in cranberries, working in cranberry farms, that they appreciate that I'm not about Idaho's famous veg.
Francesca Hong represents the 76th Assembly District. Thank you so very much for joining us, Fran. It was so much fun. And I look forward to talking to you if and when this bipartisan measure actually gets passed, and then we can celebrate that.
I'm so looking forward to coming back. Thank you all so much.
Francesca Hong, our guest, stay with us. We have news and weather all coming up next. When we return, we're going to talk about the March of Dimes, March for Change, happening this weekend in Madison. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.